This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for the Tiki and Tierney NFL Training Camp Two-A-Days as we visit all 32 NFL camps to preview the upcoming season.
The Seattle Seahawks, 12-4, first in the NFC West. While the Seahawks expected a quiet offseason trying to build on their eighth playoff appearance in nine seasons, it was anything but, as QB Russell Wilson reportedly had his sights set elsewhere. However, the seven-time Pro Bowler put a stop to those rumors as voluntary camps opened.
There's a lot of teams out there that people were saying that I was going to or would go to. I requested a trade. I did not request a trade. I've always wanted to play here. You know, and the reality is I think calls were getting thrown around and this and that, and I think that's just a reality. But I think at the end of the day, the real reality is that I'm here, and I'm here to win. I'm here to win it all.
Seattle has a new offensive coordinator in Shane Waldron and traded for Raiders offensive lineman Gabe Jackson. Can head coach Pete Carroll and Ross set aside their differences, or is this a make-or-break season for Wilson in Seattle?
All right. I mean, let's face it. If things go awry, you never know with Russ. He was very disenchanted earlier in the year on the Dan Patrick show. So you wouldn't imagine Splitsville for a future Hall of Famer who's already got a championship and another Super Bowl appearance. But stranger things have happened. Let's get into that and all the other issues and roster moves and the circumstances for a very talented and very well-run franchise. That is Seattle. And we're joined by, let's face it, a guy who's got a lot of equity in this business, been doing it for a long time, the Professor John Clayton, host and reporter. He's out there in Seattle, 710 ESPN. John, Tiki and Tierney, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Doing awesome, man. Listen, let's start with Russ, obviously, and let's go back to the Dan Patrick show. Earlier in the year, he was, you know, running over his O-line a little bit. I thought he was passive-aggressive. I thought he was very disingenuous in the sense, John, that he allowed the story to gain life and really build velocity in the ensuing weeks. We talked about it for at least a week straight, and we were not alone. And not once did he weigh in and say, nah, it came out wrong. It's not true. That's not how I feel. So you heard what he said in the clip, that he's a Seattle Seahawk, and he is for now. But are you fully convinced that wound is repaired, or are you not buying that as much?
No, it's, the wound is repaired. It's, listen, all my years of covering the league was the most overdone, overrated story I've ever been involved with or witnessed. I mean, again, you know, he went to the Super Bowl, won the Walter Payton Award, sat in the press box or sat in an owner's box with Roger Goodell, and watched what happened to him happen to Patrick Mahomes. You know, in the Super Bowl, because what ends up happening is, you know, the Bucs went cover two, and that's what the Rams did. And, you know, a lot of the teams went cover two against him in the second half of the season, and it affected the offense. And so now here he was holding on to the ball 2.97 seconds and getting hit, and he just expressed his frustration and for being hit too much. I mean, since his second year in the league, he's averaged over 40 sacks a season, and so you can see that wore on him. But you know, fortunately for Pete Carroll and the team, their relationship actually strengthened, and he wanted a voice in some of the personnel decisions, a voice in the hiring of a new offensive coordinator, and he got that. And so like that, Shane Waldron turns out to be the fit that he likes, because Shane comes in with that Rams 49ers type offense, and he'll get rid of the ball faster. He did get an upgraded guard with Gabe Jackson. He got Gerald Everett at tight end. They've added to their defense, and so everything's fine.
John, let me ask you this, and you lay it out very detailed, very well. That's, of course, John Clayton with us here on Tiki and Tierney. You know, for me, it's because I'm watching all the games. I know you are as well, but I mean, you're diving into the minutia. Mm-hmm. I mean, even, you know, dropping 2.97 seconds on the release, you got the numbers. That's where you're in Seattle. Whereas we're more, you know, a macro view above the league, bouncing around from game to game. My perception might be wrong, but I've always thought that Russ is a little culpable as well. Part of his brilliance is being able to extend the play. Mm-hmm. But how do we truly delineate what's been a porous offensive line and him just holding on to the rock too much?
Yeah, but also the offensive line last year was probably the best it's been in over 2 years. You know, they improved it. I mean, you know, Brandon Schell did a good job on the right side. Damian Lewis turned out to be one of the better rookie offensive guards to come in there. So the line actually did better. I mean, the problem basically, you know, turns down to is that you know, he has to adjust a little bit, because obviously, you know, he, Justin Fields and all that like to do the same thing and move around and make plays when plays aren't there. But now he's got an offensive system that he can, you know, just sit back a little bit, you know, instead of going 7-step drop, you know, go 3-5-step drops, get rid of the ball quicker. I mean, you know, it's a faster type of offense. It's going to be better for the run game. And, you know, one of the big problems in the second half of the season, and really for the whole season, is that they passed the ball too much. Mm. I mean, he was 60-40 as far as pass the run, and that's just not, you know, what the Seahawks do. I mean, they need to have more of a balanced type of offense. And so that's going to happen this year with Shane Waldron and Chris Carson and all that stuff. I mean, they just got out of sync. And, of course, you know, the fact that he did say something, but remember, he stayed quiet for the longest time, and, you know, Pete Carroll, John Snyder, they didn't say anything at all.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of lingered on, and people wouldn't put it down. People even still now are still talking, oh, yeah, look at this. Is, yeah, still problems there? No, there's no problems. You can see it in practice. You can see it in the way that he's reacted. I mean, everything is now fine.
Hmm. Okay. That is John Clayton, and giving us some good stuff there in Seattle. Everything seems to be pretty good. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Now, John, we all can remember back those championship caliber, well, first of all, championship winning team, but then caliber teams. It was based on what they were doing on the defensive side of the ball. They were big and aggressive in the secondary. They got after it up front. Where is this team now defensively? We know that they just re-signed Jamal Adams, who, you know, plays like a linebacker, even though he's a safety, some liabilities in the past game. But the impact of Seattle Seahawks defense that we're used to seeing, is that coming back anytime soon, in your estimation?
Yeah, it's not going to be anywhere close to 2013. I mean, that was arguably one of the 6 best defenses that you've seen in the league. And so will they be 2013? No, they won't. I mean, but they still have a chance to be good. And if you're looking the second half of the season, they did get better. I mean, for example, at the beginning of the year, now they, you know, they faced some good quarterbacks on bad teams, but they gave up too many passing yards. They couldn't get any pressure on the quarterback. And then next thing you know, they make the trade for Carlos Rogers, and the sacks started coming back. I mean, you know, people tend to forget they ended up finishing with 46 sacks. In the second half of the season, they were one of the best sack teams in football, which is kind of amazing when you think about it. Now, you know, they were able to get Kerry Hyder added to the pass rush. It looks like they've got a real good one coming right now in Darrell Lewis, their second-round pick from a year ago who didn't play. I mean, you know, he's had a great preseason and now starting to get to the quarterback, where he was getting pressure on the quarterback, but now getting to the quarterback. So, you know, they've added to the defense, and so the defense should be better. But is it a top 10 defense? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it was a top 15 defense by the end of the season. It should be better.
John, you've seen a lot of big trades, and you've followed and you've scooped a lot of things over your great career. I'm curious, from beginning to end, starting with, you know, what they actually gave up to get Jamal Adams and the equity that they gave up there, and then talk about sacks. I know he set a safety sack record, but also the negotiations, what they wound up giving. Like, to me, they had to re-sign him when you mm-hmm. give up multiple ones and some other stuff as well. Do you think a smart organization looks smart with everything around Adams from start to finish?
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly there's still some questions at the cornerback position. That's still a little bit of an issue. But, you know, here they are. They've got two Pro Bowl safeties because Quandre Diggs was selected to the Pro Bowl last year. Adams, and really, in the NFC West, which I think right now you can argue is the best division in football, I mean, you have to be aggressive because if you're a playoff team like Seattle and you're drafting in the 20s, what ends up happening, you get basically guys with second-round grades because you're only going to have like about 18, 20 guys that are going to have first-round grades. In some years like this, it's going to be a little bit less. So now you have a chance to get a top six player who has been to three Pro Bowls and could be in the beginning of what might be a Hall of Fame type of career. I mean, he had 9.5 sacks last year. And you look in this division, and what, you know, they give me the 49ers trade for Trent Williams. You know, Marcus Hudson goes to Arizona. I mean, you know, they had Chandler Jones they picked up. The Rams trade for Matthew Stafford, and you know, they have Jalen Ramsey. And so, you know, in this division, you have to be aggressive. But sometimes, you know, if you just keep drafting in the you know, lower part of the in the first round, I mean, you're not going to get those type of star players. They got a star players in Adams, and they ended up paying them big.
Yeah, you know, looking at their run game, and again, going back to the 2013-14 seasons, it was very much predicated on their run game. Chris Carson. We like him. He seems like he's a steady force in the backfield. Don't know if he's explosive like some of the runners they've had in the past, but without, you know, a run game, doesn't that put so much pressure on Russell Wilson? It seems like his biggest success has come in play action when teams are defending both of those sides of the team. Where are they at with their run game, especially after upgrading their offensive line a little bit, obviously trading for Gabe Jackson from the Raiders, et cetera?
Well, the running game should be okay. I mean, one of the big issues in the last 2 years, you know, they've had times where they've been down, you know, with injuries, three running backs. I mean, you know, Rashad Penny's been fighting that ACL injury for the last couple of years. That's held him back. You know, Chris Carson's a physical type of runner. And so, you know, you can see that it's hard for him to get 16 games and be healthy. You know, they really look like they made a good move in getting Alex Collins back because he's been really good as far as running the football this preseason. It was really good when he was here. You know, and then he had some off-the-field issues. He ended up going to Baltimore and almost having a 1,000-yard season. So the run game should be better, and it's going to be more of a commitment to the run, you know, with the Shane Waldron offense.
Hey, John, when you look at the Lockett-Metcalf combination, where do they rank in terms of wide receiver duos in the NFL, in your opinion?
Top three. I mean, certainly I'd still go with, you know, Mike Evans
Godwin.
And Chris Godwin as the best. But, I mean, you can make the argument that it could be number two or number three because, I mean, DK Metcalf is just a stud. I mean, it's amazing to think that he goes to the combine, runs, you know, a 4.33, lifts like an offensive lineman. You know, his dad was an offensive lineman in the pros. And because he's had a bad cone drill, he ends up going as a 64th pick. I mean, does that make any sense?
No.
I mean, T.J. Lockett's now, for the last couple of years, ranked in the top 100 on the NFL Network's 100 list voted by the players. And, you know, last year had over 1,000 yards, had over 100 catches. I mean, you know, it's a good duo. And now it's a matter of, are they going to be good enough at the third spot, because, you know, they took a second round pick who I think can you know, come in there and really help them out. So it's like right now we have four wide receivers on the team.
Yeah. Looks like a duck, quack like a duck, talks like a duck. Probably, you know, Hercules, DK Metcalf.
But that cone drill.
That cone drill
held them back, John. Hey, John, you've been around him forever, and you know, his exuberance, his youthful exuberance is, I mean, I'm jealous of it. I mean, Pete Carroll, the spring in his step at his age is amazing. I mean, how much longer do you think he wants to do this?
Well, he signed a 5-year extension a couple of years ago, so it's like, and he always has talked about Marv Levy and how Marv coached into his 70s. So, you know, I think, you know, he might, after this contract, you know, because I think when it goes to 213, 214, you know, that might be it. But you never know with him because, you know, he loves this game. He's youthful despite his age in this game. But you know, and the fact that he signed a 5-year contract still means that he still wants to continue coaching and coaching for long.
Who wins the division? It's loaded. Seattle, Rams, Niners, cards are interesting. Who wins it?
I think it's going to be Seattle because, again, they won 12. They've got the best quarterback in the division. They've added to the talent where, you know, I think the Rams are going to have a little bit of a slippage because, you know, they make the Matthew Stafford deal. I mean, they're still a top playoff team. But, you know, to do that, they had to put $42.2 million in their cap because they have $20 million salary for Stafford, $22.2 for dead money for Jared Goff. And so they lose four players, starters on defense. They lose Gerald Everett. They lose a starting center. They, lose Cam Akers to the Achilles tear. I think San Francisco should still bounce back and make the playoffs. And Arizona sitting there with like 8 or 9 wins, they're probably going to be short of the playoffs.
Hey, we've gotten a lot of information from you over the years. I mean, decades at this point, John. It's about Pete Carroll doing this for a long time, and I'm certainly not trying to date you. I'm just showing respect. I know our audience always enjoys getting a little professor, a little workshop time. So thank you for coming on. We appreciate it, and we're following, we're reading, we're listening. Thank you, John. Thank you very much.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thanks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.